There it is. Good morning, church. How are we feeling this morning? Yes, I am so excited to bring the word today. And before I begin, I want to give honor to where honor is due. I just want to thank Pastor Rob and Pastor Alan for letting me take the stage for this weekend. It is a big deal to preach the word. I hope we never minimize the opportunity to present the gospel to people because this is life. This isn't anything more than eternal life. And so the fact that you are letting me share the stage, thank you so much. I have the greatest joy and honor of running the vision of helping River Valley Church as a whole, and also this campus locally here in Woodbury. And so today we get the opportunity to hear from the Word of God, and we are going to be specifically in Psalm 34 in verse 8. And so if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalm 34, in youth group, we really highlight the fact that this is amazing. This, people have died for this. People across the world cannot wait for it to happen. And although digitally it is great, how many know that you don't get notified notifications when you read the bound Bible, right? You don't get told that someone is texting you, someone is commenting on your Instagram or Facebook, but you get to dive into God's word. And so Psalm 34, verse 8, we are going to jump right in. It says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And today I'm going to split those two sentences into my two points today. And so we're going to start with, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And I love that the author, David, he starts even with just the word, "Oh." Because if you look at it, the root of that word, "Oh," is excitement. It's reminders, right? How many times you can say that word, especially as Minnesotans, you can say that word in various ways. You can be like, "Oh." Or, "Oh." Or, "Oh." But what David was doing in this time is he was reminding himself the faithfulness of God. Because when you look into the context of the scripture, he was in the middle of not an amazing season. He was in the middle of having to imagine him being insane in front of Abimelech in order to save his own life. And so sometimes when I, and me personally, when I look at the Psalms, a lot of times I'm looking at an emotional author who is just at the highest of highs, but also at the lowest of lows. And this is a moment for David where he is in the lowest of lows. And so when we look at the purpose of this Psalm, it is to teach moral lessons about God. And I think we need a little bit more of that in today's culture to have the moral understanding of who God is, because on great days and bad days, we need to remember who God is. And so when we look at it, the highlight is God's constant care for his people. And David invites the readers to taste and see, right? As Minnesotans, there's one spot in the year that we cannot wait to taste and see, and that is the Minnesota State Fair. Come on, I am preaching to you now, right? And especially this year when we don't have to sit in our cars, we can use these things called our feet, and we can walk to booths. And we can oversaturate ourselves with not healthy things. But we walk, so it evens out, right? And so we can taste and see that the Lord is good. So here's my first point. What does it mean to taste and see that the Lord is good? To taste involves testing or sampling, and seeing involves understanding and perceiving. The phrase "taste and see" really boils down to asking, try this and experience it. And I remember in 2019, it stopped this amazing era that I loved called Sample Day. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. At the warehouses at Costco and Sam's Club on Saturday mornings, if you got there and somehow you made it there without ruining your salvation by the parking lot, you got to go aisle after aisle and sample the goodness of what they're trying to sell you. And how many of you know there's some winners? And there's some great winners, right? And the great winners always were in the pizza section, the ice cream section, and any of the desserts, right? Sometimes you'd see the healthy trail mix and you just kind of pass it along. Or you give it to your significant other or your kids because they need the healthy items. But when you experience the sampling, what it's doing in your brain is it's registering saying, "I should buy this. This is amazing. I should have a pantry or a freezer full of this stuff, and we should eat this over over and over and over. And the one thing that, well, the one of many things that this last season has done, it has taken away the samples. And I miss the samples because I want to experience the new food without giving my all to it. And sometimes that's our mentality right now, is we don't want to go all in on this thing called faith. We want to be able to taste and see samples so that we can know if we can fully commit to it or not. And so when David is trying to explain that we need to try and experience, we got to discover what God has done for us through personal trial and experience. And we need to get back to being asked, to be able to ask ourselves the question, God, put me in an opportunity to experience and trial your goodness. Because when we just want to sit and say, let it come to me, we miss the key part of trusting and having faith. And when we allow faith to rise up in ourselves, there are going to be moments that we're going to see and we're going to experience the goodness of God. And I want to let you know that this amazing book right here, if anything else, is samples. Like in a Sam's Club, of samples of in the past what God has done and how good he is. And when people try to experience him in their own might and in their own strength, how they've fallen short. But when they have trusted in God, you have always seen God come through. And so what David is trying to remind us is that when we make the decision to commit to God after having moments of samples and samples and samples, there's got to be a time in our lives that we have to say, I'm no longer going to be okay with sample God. I want to fully commit and I want to fully give my life to him, because whether we realize it or not, he has already fully committed to you. By sending Jesus, he said, all right, all in. I'm committed. Even before Jesus, he was all in and he was committed to us. The real question that we have to ask ourselves every single day is, are we going to be fully committed to him? And I want to keep reading Psalms 34, the kind of the continue up to verse 14, because it brings an important and greater depth into this passage. So starting in verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So what David is trying to instill in this psalm is the balanced development of the theme that God is good. That we need to experience the good that controls this section, because as we saw in verse 8, the Lord is good. Then we get to see those who trust in him will lack nothing, like it said in verse 10. But in order to see and experience good days, like it is in verse 12, we must shun evil and do good, like it said in verse 14. To trust and obey is the ultimate line of the fear of the Lord. And there are some of us that don't understand fear. We know natural fear. We know what it's like to be scared. My kids know what it's like to be scared, but in order to fearfully obey God, it's to know the greatness of who God is in his goodness, in his mercy, in his compassion, and the fact that if I don't have that, I'm lacking everything. And when we fully commit to it, we then understand what the fear of the Lord is. Because even when we look back all the way at the very beginning, we can read about a time for the first time in human history, humans took on the judge of balancing what is good. When we look at Genesis 3, it said this. It says, one day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? See, he's rearranging the commands right away. Of course we may eat fruit from the tree of the garden, the woman replied. It is only the fruit from the tree of the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. That's also wrong. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and then you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. See, here's the problem with this, is up until this moment, humanity has let God dictate what is good. we don't have time to read it, but if you looked at the entire creation story, and I encourage you to look at that story after this weekend, is every time there was a portion of creation that took place, there was a line at the very end of it that said, it was good. And then when you add humanity to it, it was very good. So I want to speak real quick to someone who doesn't see value in themselves. There's a reason that God said very good is because when he created you, he didn't say, oh, cookie cutter stamp, I'm going to do all these things. He said uniquely and individually, I'm going to create this because it's very good. And so when we have the stamp of it was good, Adam and Eve, who represent all of humanity, did something that they weren't supposed to do. They took on the judgment of evaluating what was good. Did you know that that's not even a weight that we are supposed to carry? We don't even need to carry the weight and value of what is good, what is not good, because that's what God wanted to do from the beginning. But because of Adam and Eve taking on the weight of valuing what is good, we took then the judgment that came with it. And as you know in the story, the second that it happened, our hearts then begin. You can read through this whole Bible. Once we bid into the valuation of what is good, every single moment in humanity up until the time that Christ is going to come back, we are always going to be having to ask ourselves, what is good? And we're going to be chasing it our whole lives. Whether that's a good job, whether that's a good marriage, whether that's a good education, a good house, a good salary. And we will be chasing it until we are dead. But the moment that we understand that it's just God who's good, then we are blessed. The second that we can put the weight off of our shoulders, and Jesus even said it, he said, carry the lightweight. Give me the heavy stuff. Then you can live life that I've created you to live. But when we taste and see with our own experience and our own strength, we'll always come up short and unfulfilled. I love what Paul said to the church in Romans 12. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. If I can call up Jake in here, I've got a fun illustration for us. There are so many times in our lives where we come to a situation like this, where we're at church, or maybe we're at a worship night, or maybe something where we feel a shift. We understand our lives, and we understand what we have to do, but we are not ready to fully commit to God. But God is changing us. We earn a moral compass. We do something to where we know the right thing, but we battle if we should commit to it or not. And so, Jake, I want you to grab this cookie right here. And so this cookie represents Jake walking into the newness of who he is. He was once separated, right? He was the batter, he was the eggs, he was the sugar. And then there was a blending that took place in order for him to create this new creation. And what happens when we try to tamper with our old life, Jake, you can take a bite, is that when we try to experience the goodness of God, yeah, it's a little salty, isn't it? Yeah. It's a little repulsive. There's some water for you, Jake. That's what happens. And there are so many times in our lives that people look at us and say, this looks attractive. This looks so good. I need to taste and experience what is the difference between this guy and me. They bite into the core of who you are, and it's repulsive. Now try the other one. Nope, not that one. That one. But when we fully commit and transform our lives and our thinking and our agenda and our will, it's a good cookie, right? Yeah, you can take it. Everything lines up. Thank you, Jake. Because sometimes when we look at our lives, we want to look pleasing on the outside, but we don't want the work to fully trust, to commit to letting our core be transformed. And when God aligns our hearts, when we commit and let him align our hearts, there's gonna be things that are gonna be hard. There are gonna be things that are gonna be challenging. There are gonna be things that are gonna be difficult. But when we fully blend into the will of God, as Paul stated, that's when good, pleasing, and perfect is the final product. But it's God's will that has to be those three things. Anytime humanity tries to do it, it could be good, it could be pleasing, it's never perfect. But if you want the trifecta, you gotta line up and align to God's will. Because if we come back to Psalms 34:8, if we taste and see that the Lord is good and we decide that we are not satisfied with samples, but we wanna fully commit to a life of following Jesus, then it says that blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And that's my second point. There is blessing in taking refuge in him. The word blessed comes from the Hebrew word eshir and is only described as people who enjoy their relationship with God. And it's like any relationship that we have. If you love the relationship, if you enjoy the relationship, you want to spend more time in the relationship because the relationship blesses someone else and also blesses you. Now, here's the crazy thing that we have to somehow wrap our minds around is that we get to have a relationship with the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that created everything and the one in a snap of a finger can end it all. And we get the opportunity and the privilege to be in a relationship with him. And the crazy thing about it, and this is where it kind of messes with my brain, is it blesses us 20,000 billionfold. God's already blessed. He just wants the relationship with us. And he wants to then bless us to pursue a relationship with him. And when we get to do that, and that's the word, we get to do that. We don't have to do that. God's not a puppeteer. He's not gonna control. He could, but he's not going to because he wants us to want to be in a relationship with him. You ever been in a forced relationship before? It's awful, right? I feel like that's where the whole conversation of weather started, is the forced relationships, because you have no idea what to talk about. But when we don't have the mentality of we are forced to be in a relationship with God, but we get to be in a relationship with God, then it's one of those things that we can take to the bank and we can fully commit our lives to. Because when we enjoy our commitment, it blesses us. That's why Jesus started his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 11 with the specific instructions that blessed are those that, and there's the description. Because here's the myth is that blessed means everything is gonna be amazing. I'm only gonna have good days. Skittles actually come out of rainbows. Dogs never get out of the good smelling licks of puppies' face. Like it never gets the stinky breath. That's what it, all of these things are the characteristics of how life is gonna be, but that's not the case. But Jesus said, blessed are those that are peaceful, those that mourn, those that do these things that are uncharacteristic of the world, because that is the characteristic you will produce when you fully commit your relationship with God. Because when you enjoy something, you advertise it, right? How many experienced a new product? How many experienced something different than you didn't expect or anticipate? And all you did for the next week or two was talk about this thing. We need to start talking more about the goodness of who God is. Man, if our social medias, if our verbiage on the water cooler, if that's still a thing, if all we were doing was talking about the goodness of God, this world would have a different perspective. The worst thing they can tell you is to be quiet. But if you keep talking about the goodness of God because that's who he is, people are gonna respond. People are gonna smell the aroma like you would with a good batch of chocolate chip cookies. They're gonna want to know what the difference is between you. And that's why Jesus even said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never grow thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And then I will raise them up on the last day. When what Jesus was promoting is the same thing in Psalms 38. Those that trust in the Lord are blessed when we enjoy that relationship with God, and we will take refuge in God through Jesus and through Jesus only. Taking refuge is defined as a shelter protection that you hide to from danger. When you think about it, it's like finding a safe place during a storm or getting comfortable in a time of trouble. So when David is saying, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, he's saying when troubled times come, because they will come, you find hope and rest in Jesus. You find hope and rest in the scriptures. You find hope and rest in the Holy Spirit that he brought to us to this day. We sometimes need to remember that we have the third Trinitarian God, the third triune God with us right now. Right now in this place, he is with us. And we get the honor of serving him and walking with him. And so when we understand that, yes, not everything is going to be 100% awesome. Yes, the Lego movie theology is wrong. But when we understand what Jesus said in John 16, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now I need to remind us, it's not overcoming. This is a past tense. He has already overcome. So the victory that you're trying to do in your own strength is a victory that's already been defeated. So you get to walk. I remember, you know, this Minnesota snow, I know we don't like to talk about it in the summer times, but it's so much easier to tread in the snow when someone's already treaded it for us. And God has treaded the snow path for us to walk in. My kids love to walk in my big old boots, and so that they can just go to the place where they don't have to get wet. That's what Jesus did when he overcame the world. And so you don't have to put forth the effort and the energy into minding your own path. You just follow the path that Jesus made. And it is, like he said again, light. And we need some light lives right now in this world. And I believe that this is a church that is going to be full of light lives, so that when they experience the heaviness of your workplace, the experience of the heaviness of your neighborhoods, of your families, as you're about to get together with them after this, there's going to be some heaviness that the lightness of Jesus gets to bring in and pursue and conquer, because he's already conquered the ultimate heaviness, being death. And so when we get that privilege to bring light to darkness, man, let's not take it for granted. Because God has called each and every one of us to do this. To have peace, like I said, it only comes through Jesus. He is the only bridge that can go from peacelessness to peacefulness. Only one. There's no one else. It's not a Jesus plus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Only. He is the only one. That's why he said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If there would have been another way, Jesus would have said it, but he didn't. He identified who it is, because if you really know me, you will know the Father. And so in 2021, as I get ready to conclude, in order to personally apply Psalms 34:8 in our lives, in order to taste and see that the Lord is good, we have to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. If we want to taste, and if we want to see God move, and if we want to experience the goodness of who he is, the first thing that you have to do is realize that it's not about you. It is about Jesus and Jesus only. And when we allow our lives to be laid down as the offering, as a sacrifice, that's when we get to rise up and we get to take the kingdom of God into our minds and pursue it in everything that we do. Because then, church, we are blessed because we get to take refuge in him and we get to take refuge through him. I will also guarantee you this, when you are in refuge with Christ and Christ alone, your spiritual taste buds and your spiritual eyesights will change. The things that you once pursued, enjoyed, and experiences are gonna change. And there's gonna be a moment that you have to ask yourself, and this is a moment that no one else, not your spouse, not your kids, not your family, no one else, but you have to dictate whether you're gonna follow or not. And so when the change takes place, my encouragement is do not say, I wish that I could go back to the way that I once was. Because the proverb says that as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a person return to its sin. And as gross as that analogy is, that's what it's like when someone who has said yes to Jesus and then goes back to their old life. And so when we understand what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. You get to step into the fullness of the new self. You are not a 2.0 version of yourself. You are a new creation. A new creation. You don't have to walk in the anguish of your old self. And in the same light, it would be like if you were just living your life staring at your gravestone, saying, remember this life. I miss this life. That's what it's like for someone who lives and desires their own lifestyles when God has created you for something greater. And so when we get that opportunity to do that, we need to understand that we are no longer working with human weakness and human strength. But as Paul said in Romans 8, as Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, or your spirit is alive because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, this is it, lives in you. Lives in you. I have never fully understood that, church. The same power that we read that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling inside of me. And how many times have I only maximized that power? I love messages that challenge me as I write them. Because I said, I had to repent. And I said, God, I've maybe used 1% of your power. What is it like to fully unlock 100% of the same power that raised Christ from the dead? What type of kingdom impact could I make if I went 100%? Some of us might be thinking, well, what type of impact would you make with 2%? Why go bottom when you could get to the roof? Man, when we get the honor to serve the kingdom, let's go 100%. In fact, ask God for 110%. Ask God for 120%, 130%. God doesn't know limits. He just looks for availability. How available are we going to be? So as we go back to the cookie illustration, remember, when we align our lives with God's will, then we will be aligning with a good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we would be very silly if we admitted that we don't want good, pleasing, and perfect. But it starts with Jesus. If not, like the cookie, we will be salty. And God didn't ask us to be salty. He asked us to be salt. And so as we ask the important question now, how do we know if we're lining up? How do we know if we're lining up with the kingdom of God? The first one is this. It starts with repentance. If you know that you have not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, if you know that you have been trying to live your life in your own strength, even if you tried to live a life of God 95%, that's not what he's asking. If you understand true lordship, you are doing everything that that Lord asks you to do. And so God's not asking, he's not even asking for a Clorox wipe version, a 99.9%. He wants a full commitment. And the greatness of it is there's nothing more than just aligning your heart. It's not complicated. You say, God, I have not aligned my heart. And you ask for forgiveness. And then Jesus said, go and sin no more. You just go. You don't wallow at the gravesite. You just go. And you live the way God has called you to live. Because John said this in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unwickedness. And so once you do that, then the last thing is this, you imitate. You imitate. And I love what Paul said in Ephesians 5, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. One of the blessings and the curses of being a parent is that my kids copy me. But it's because they spend time with me. And if we want to know God, then we imitate God. And one of my big challenges is understand the characteristics of God. This is the same challenge I challenged my youth kids. Find out what the words are that describe God and then imitate that this week and see what your life is like. Because then you are blessed when you do that. And so with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want to give that opportunity for the first way to line up through repentance. And it's nothing more than just understanding that you are no longer in control, but you're letting God take control. And if that is you today and you would say, hey, Pastor Matt, I have not given God control, or may I give him partial control, but not full control. And this morning, I'm going to give him full control of my life. I'm just going to ask you, if that is you, would you simply just lift your hands? This is the moment. Thank you. Yes, I see you in the back. Yes, thank you. This is the moment between you and God. This is no one else. And today is the day that you're going to say, yes, I'm going to commit my life to God. So here's what I'd love for all of us to do. I'd love for all of us in this room to repeat this prayer. And it is a simple prayer, but it's a prayer of surrender. Say, dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross. And today, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for choosing me. And thank you for loving me. In your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we stand? And as we're standing, can we give those people that made that decision a round of applause? Come on. It says that all of heaven celebrates when one person comes back to the family. Come on. Can we do it a little bit longer, a little bit louder for those people? Man, I will never not celebrate someone coming to the kingdom of God. And we are so excited for you. And if you made that decision, on the screen is going to be really an easy next step. But you just text the word now what to 94,000 where we could resource you. But as I want to call the prayer teams up. This would be another amazing step is to tell a prayer team member that you made that decision because we want to celebrate with you and we want to pray for you. But also these prayer teams are here to strengthen you and encourage you as you begin to imitate God throughout your week. And if not, happy Memorial Day. Thank you so much for being a part of River Valley Church, and we will see you next week.